Pastor said, this year is a different year. We move with speed. And I dare add precision, because we know what to do. God is the one piloting our affairs, and we cannot get it wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to say a very big special welcome to our big sis in the house, Sister Buki. God bless you, ma. God bless you, ma. Amen. All right. During the midweek service, we started a series on God's best pathways for my life. Hallelujah. You know, remember what Pastor gave us a direction for the year when we were having a crossover service, and he gave us God's word in Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. Last year, we were looking at, who can remember our anchor scripture for last year? Romans 15:4. He said, what did he say? Whatever was written for, and then even for my sleep, at the year, I said, Pastor Muyiwa, carry Kobokun. God help you, where Pastor Muyiwa holds this mic on, in service. I say, oh yeah, our scripture for the, and then you don't remember. Ah. So even in my sleep, I am quoting the scripture. Whatever was written, and it helped us. Amen. If it didn't help you, it helped me. Because at a point last year, I was going through a phase, and I remember I said, No. If what was written for my learning, what have I learned? I must use it. Hallelujah. Because whatever you will experience, you will encounter, will become a testimony for others to also learn from. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God that we don't hide testimonies here, because most of the testimonies that I shared, they have been a source of encouragement when we go through phases. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you are here, you are not sharing testimony. Just as Sister Buki said, she's out for people who don't want to dance and praise God. I'm out for you. If you are here and you're not sharing testimony, because you are denying yourself a great deal. Amen. Now you know what you go through. Now you know what God do for you. If you don't share it, oh, now you suck up. Now you lose. You know why? Because each time we share testimonies, we knock the devil on the head and let him know that we have the victory. Hallelujah. It's not by your power. It's God that's doing it. Hallelujah. So when you don't share, you are cheating yourself. And you are not helping the people who are going through, because every time you go through a phase, nothing is new under the sun. Someone, it has happened before. Amen. Someone had an encounter I was sharing with my wife. And it's something I have been experiencing very, very closely. Amen. But you see, because we share, we don't hide, we don't cover answer sheets. Amen. That's why pastor will have an encounter in the office and will come to church and share. It's so that somebody can get blessed and you go and do the same. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Hallelujah. Amen. So we started a series on God's best pathways for my life. Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. And we touched on a number of scriptures on Thursday. So today, it's a continuation of that. So we're doing part two of God's best pathways for my life. Hallelujah. Give me that scripture again, because it's our anchor scripture. We'll always start with that. Psalm 32, verse 8. Amen. Psalm 32, verse 8. Please be fast. We're going to be fast this morning because I don't have time. No time. Amen. All right, Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, on Thursday, there's a, I remember, I think it was a TPT or the message of this same verse. And what God was saying there, he says, I will instruct you and guide you through the pathways. That means he will not only give us instruction, like he said, he will give us instruction, he will teach us. He will also not stop there, but he will be with us through the way, through the things he has instructed us to do. Amen. When I was very, very young in primary school, my mom would say, oh yeah, go to school. No, I grew to a point where they know they can't owe me for hand, go school. So, but she would say, oh yeah, they go. I will be going to school. I wouldn't even know that my mom is behind. So when she said go, oh yeah, go, you don't big reach to they go school. I go the woman at her age, they go school when the school is not far from the house. You go school alone. But she's behind me. And one day there's this troublemaker who is always, you know, we have our mates that we always play with. And then we've had issues before, and it was the boy just wailing me with his brothers. And I panicked because there were like four of them. I thought I was going to school alone. And in my house, you dare not come back from school with a rumpled uniform or say one button miss. It's trouble. My mama not go care whether now you do wrong or now you do right. One button is missing. And you can imagine my stubborn younger brother that all his buttons, only himself don't take his teeth to remove all the buttons. He's always playing with it. You can imagine removing your button and use it to play table soccer. Okay, you people don't know table soccer. Ask Pastor Moyo, he knows. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor has told us about table soccer before. So he will use his button. That's the ball for the table soccer. There's cassette, this thing that we use, but he will use his button. And he will get all the ghost bars when he comes back from home, from school. And then they will lead me. But you know what? My confidence was as, even though I panicked, I was still going like I was ignoring them. I didn't know that Momsi was behind me. All I heard was, come on! And all of the sky, like you know, have you been, the sky, like, and I turned back. I said, this woman, they follow you. Hallelujah. God said, I will not only instruct you, I will be with you. I will guide you. I'll be with you. Amen. All right, for today, so let's see. Give me Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. He's talking about delighting your ways. He said, delight your ways in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Delight yourself. Psalm 37. Toshi, you have to be fast this morning with me, please. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you your heart desires. Hallelujah. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does it mean? He said, take pleasure and be with the Lord. Be with the Lord. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit wants to spend time with us in the place of worship, in the place of prayer. My wife gave us a film yesterday that we watched as a family, and that's just all it was about. It's about this young girl who the Holy Spirit was always beckoning on to spend time with him, to spend time with him. Because each time we spend time with him, you know what he does? He gives us a clear pathway for our lives. Hallelujah. He gives us clear instructions that will help us. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Don't be selfish. Oh, I want to press my phone. Oh, I want to play a game. No. Delight yourself in the Lord. Spend time with him. And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. You have needs that he will meet only when you spend time with him. Hallelujah. It's only in the church we have people who want to eat their cakes and have it. You don't want to spend time with the Lord. You want to spend time playing game and doing the desires of your heart. And you want God to grant the things you are asking for. No, it doesn't work that way. Spend time with me, and I will grant the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of us are going to spend time with the Lord this year? Pastor said this is a different year. Yes. Spend time. He said, delight yourself in me, and you will have. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. That's intentionally, deliberately making moves to see that you get what you want, but you must spend time with him. Because it's in the place of spending time with him that you get to know some secrets. There are things happening in your office you don't know. You think everything is normal. People have connections. People do all manner of things. And then this is our own juju. Because you have colleagues in the office who do juju. That's what they believe in. We don't have any other one. This is God that we have. The Holy Spirit is our juju. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you secrets. He will tell you deep things, mysteries, secrets that no one could ever even imagine. And then you come in there and you are just laughing because you have seen it ahead. I mean, it happens to me. And that's what was happening to the person my wife was talking to. So I just come and I see some things and I encounter something. And I'm like, I've seen this before. Hallelujah. I've seen this before. You know, sometimes when you come, you want to tell pastor something. You say, pastor, something was. It's not something. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I've had such encounters. We have just said, wait. Where have I seen this before? Where have I seen this before? It's the Holy Spirit that has shown me. Sometimes it could be in a trance. Sometimes it could be in a dream. Amen. But I know when I've seen something before. And I said, okay. Are you not going to catch me? Hallelujah. And then the person, that's the time the person is becoming nicer and everything. Come on, there's nothing there. I have seen it. I know where this ends. Remember the story Sedman was telling us about the guy who had a dream that he went to work and his organ said he should come and operate one machine. and then the machine cut off his neck. And then when he got to the office the next day, they really called him that he should come and operate. He said, no, I've seen this. The Lord has shown me. He said, and another of Asabi said, I will go and do it. And he went to do it, and his head went off. In our local palace in Warri, we will say, the stone where I see, you know, the blind eye. If you see stone coming and it's coming to your eyes, what do? You dodge. Abi? So when the Holy Spirit, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit and he shows you things, it's for your safety. It's for your good. It's for your betterment so that you don't fall into those traps that you have seen. He said, I will show you all things. I will bring to your remembrance all things. He said, I will show you even deep things, deep mysteries. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, did we take verse 5? 4 and 5, I said. Okay, verse 5. He said, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So that thing you are longing for, you will desire so strongly, he will bring it to pass. Just trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, he was talking about, he said, that you may walk worthy. Another version says, circumspectly, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Amen. Fully pleasing him. Fruitful in every good work. Hallelujah. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 also, he was talking about that we are his workmanship. God will not come down to do things. We are his workmanship. So God's best pathway for my life is that I will spend time with him and then he will just walk through me. He will walk through us. Hallelujah. Amen. Created, crafted for good works. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 11, I remember Jesus wept. That's the only place I saw that Jesus cried, though, aside from when he was on the cross. But this very pain of the cry that Jesus cried in John 11, 35, was as a result of what he saw. What did he see? He saw a set of people who are very close to him, but far from understanding. In John 11, 35, he said, Jesus wept. And that was the shortest scripture, shortest verse of the, in the Bible. John 11, 35. Why did he weep? My friend, Pastor Abraham, will always say, when he wants to quote this verse, he'll say, Jesus wept, Mary cried. Why did Jesus weep? Let's go there. John 11, verse 35. John 11, look at verse 11. So, first he said, these things he said, and after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. 12. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly. Imagine when Jesus just speaking parable, you know they understand. And then Jesus had to speak plainly. He said, Lazarus is dead. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, in verse 16, Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let us go. Let us also go, that we may die. That we may die with him. Jesus has great level of tolerance. Some of the things I saw in the Bible that Thomas did, if it's me, hey, you need that kind of person. You ask Koboko. That will give you a wipe on your back. Have you spent time with the Lord like this and you still don't know anything? Okay, so in verse 21, just push a little bit to 21. Jesus, okay, 21. Now, Martha said to Jesus, when Jesus was already coming to the town, Martha saw him from afar off. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Just imagine. Jesus has taught them before. He said, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give. If you know, why are you now quoting that if you had been here, he would not have died? You see a lot of people who speak so much Christianese, the Christian language, but they are far from the believing what they are even quoting. I am fine. I am healed. I am strong. You are strong and you don't come to church. And the pastor called you after service. Why didn't we see you in church? He said, I have one kind of small headache. You have this small headache and you are saying you are strong. You will come to church with a headache and see if God will not prove himself. Hallelujah. So they speak Christianese, but their hearts are far from what they are proclaiming. So, Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. Look at what Martha said in 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days. Now you teach past the teacher. In the resurrection of the last days. So why is Jesus here? You have answer with you. Just like the man at the pool. You have answer. Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? And then he said, I have no man. If you need man, what are they do for you? I'm in front of you with answer. And I'm saying, what do you want me to do for you? And that's it. The year has started. As declared by God's servant. God is asking, what would you have me do for you? And you're saying, some of you even think that it's only when you come to church that God can answer you. No. Even in your closet is the greatest time that you can have with him. Fellowship with him. Just be lost in his arms. Hallelujah. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. I am here. And then she said, I know in the resurrection at the last day. Eh? In the resurrection, why Jesus live where a day can come meet you? Okay. Because sometimes we do a lot of things that we feel, we act like we are sorry for God. Say, God, I don't want to ask too much. Just do small one for me. Just do small. I don't want plenty. As if God will go broke doing anything for you. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You believe. Yet you are lamenting with unbelievers that surround you that, hey, my brother Lazarus, who used to give Jesus food when he comes here, he's dead. I have called for Jesus. He's on his way. There's traffic. He's slowing down. I've called since 4 days. He said he's on his way. He will come, Shah. He will come. He is the resurrection and the life. You know, but it is you are quoting. It's contradicting yourself. Look at what happened. After Martha left him, Martha ran inside to tell Mary. Eh? Martha went inside to tell Mary. So now Jesus had not yet come to the town. Okay. Now, verse 31, it says. Okay, verse 28. He said, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Jesus not call Mary. Now, Martha own extra aprogona you do. You see? And Jesus is calling for you. Do you know what she wanted to do? She just wanted to give him pressure and remind him and make another person lament over it that if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So that when, you know, some people feel like when you say a thing several times to pastor, that's where pastor will take it seriously. See, let me tell you. Or when you complain a thing over and over to God, that's when God will not take it. No. It's not about that. If you have prayed it once, it's enough. Just thank him for the rest of the time. Hallelujah. Not be when you go, because God is not forgetful. They say, God, now remember, not forget to, I tell you, school fees, so not forget to, not forget God. No, God is not like that. He said, my hands are not short, my ears are not deaf. He's not a forgetful God. Hallelujah. Even when the children of Israel did not remember the covenant he made with our father Abraham, he is the one who reminded them. He said, I had a covenant with your father. And even though you are not aware, I keep my own side of the bargain. Hallelujah. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her. You know those kind of people? We know that we have them all. I don't know if they have them here. We have them in Delta State. You know those kind of people that they hire them to come and mourn. They know how to, professional criers. They will cry when somebody dies. They just come around and you see them, now lie, now food and drink. See what they cry, say they mourn. One bottle of beer there for in corner. Rice there for them. Make one child, they could want the pikin. If you throw away this rice, now would they mourn? They think of food and drink. Professional mourners. See them, the Jews. They came, not because they love them, but because they want to mock the relationship they have with Christ. I'll show you what they said. See. So then the Jews, who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Huh? Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, the same thing Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? He said that out of, you know, he's not happy because all what I've been sharing with you, teaching you, every time I come here and I eat with you, you forgot everything. In verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, those mourners, professional mourners, criers, look at what they said. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, listen, oh, some of them said, could not this man who comes here to eat all the time, eat their egg, fried egg and dodo, eat the corn here, they chop, they cook for amala and begiri, eat the corn here, you know they miss for here when they do party. Now, he reached this time now, you know, see, he said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? I don't know if you have been told things like that. I have. Some people will look at you and say, I thought you were going to church. Why are you having these things? As though your God has forgotten you. Ah, but you are Christian now. Eh? You are a Christian now. This thing should not be happening to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't mock me yet, because I know he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but keep the faith. Say, joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Laugh me all you can, but you will be shocked in the morning that I'm a different person. Hallelujah. And so, that was why Jesus cried, because he was shocked that they forgot everything they ought to know. And then Jesus, again growing in himself, came to the tomb. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. Another version said, by this time he stinketh. For he has been dead 4 days. May we not have answers to our prayers in front of us and be giving excuses. Amen. Jesus, the answer to the problem he see, and he said, take away the stone. Why did he say he should take away the stone if he was not going to raise him? And instead of applying faith and trusting in what he's going to do, you are not giving excuses. Master, no need, not worry, they smell already. Don't get too comfortable with that situation. And then you're just saying, I will manage it. Like Kewe, he liked to sorry for his daddy, we're going to travel. And then I can't remember, the seat was going to be uncomfortable. And the mother said, no, we won't have that. Kewe said, daddy, don't worry, I will manage it. Manage it from here, here to Delta. Ah, don't manage it, not sorry for me, oh. Hallelujah. That's how some of us do. You want to sorry for God. Say, God, don't worry, not do plenty, just small. May you not get comfortable with the situation God is about to change in your life. Hallelujah. He said, don't worry, Lord, they smell now already. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, said, Father, even for in prayer, you can see the disposition of Jesus. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So God has already answered, not because Jesus was there. He has given the answer since, even when they told him Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the name of the Lord will be glorified. That's the answer. God has already answered. God knew.
Heaven knew. Those who are in connection with him and as who can so listen to God's word and can get a deep interpretation knew that God can do these things. But the people, because of familiarity, they chop with Jesus now. And that's the reason why most times, even in my growing, I set barriers myself. I set boundaries, myself. I don't want to get too familiar even with my spiritual father. Do you know why? You can get so familiar and miss God's blessings. Hey, because they play, hey, Pastor, why? Because they play with you, like children, and this, and then so you miss God's blessings. A number of times, a lot of us miss it like that. I don't want that. I want to keep it at a place where when I can take it seriously, whenever it comes, it drops. Amen. You say, set man. And then he gives you something. He tells you a word. You are not catching it because of play. I'm not saying not play. Not say pastor, the serious way. But even in all your dealings, know when God's spirit is speaking through his oracle. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. He said, but because of the people who are standing, all these oversabi, crier, mourners, hired, whatever, standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Hallelujah. What did he do? He gave an order after he has prayed. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. You see that instruction Jesus gave here when he said, loose him and let him go? I asked myself, I said, Jesus did the most difficult work, which was raising the man from the dead, even though there was a stench, back to life. The most common thing remaining was to remove the grave cloth. Eh? What did they tie him to lose it, right? Why did he leave that for them to do? It's your unbelief that tied this man to the grave, not that God is unable to raise him. Go and remove your unbelief around him. Those were the ropes that tied that man. He said, when I go do my work, I'm going to go lose him. He died. When I come in, I'm not going to feel wait patiently. At least just be there and let it, if they smell, just be there and crying and waiting that Jesus is coming. No, when I rush, go put up inside cave, put stones, F. And when they call me. So many times you have buried yourself and you say, Pastor, pray for me. Oh Lord, Jesus, help me. You are praying in unbelief because you know for you, you have buried yourself as far as that case is concerned. Hallelujah. Don't ever give up. There is no impossibility in God. Hallelujah. I'll show us two other stories quickly and then we'll wrap this up. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. Quick. Let's do this quickly. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1. Please be fast. It's about the story of Elisha. Elisha, yes. And Elisha saw that woman. Yes, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Why? Because the servant of God was owing. The prophet was owing. And so they were coming to take his sons. See what happened. Verse 8. Go to verse 8 quickly so that we can get this done. Because Elisha said to him in verse 2, he said, what shall I do for you? God, there's always that question. What shall I do for you? He said, tell me what do you have in the house? So that means there must be something you have that God definitely can walk with. Hallelujah. The children of Israel came to, you know what they say, between the devil and the deep blue sea. They were at the Red Sea. They can't cross. They will die. Behind them, Boko Haram. They do not know what to do. But guess what? God said to Moses, when Moses cried to him, Lord, help us. And he said, what do you have in your hand? There's always something you have. Tell yourself, I have something. I have something. I've seen some people, they tell them in church, say, we're going to do this. We want to take care of children. We want to do whatever it is they want to do. The first thing they do is, I don't have anything. You can't be. God did not create a useless person. You may not have much, but there's something, maybe little, maybe small. As tiny as it is. Seth Man taught us something. He said, God takes this thing seriously. As irrelevant as it may seem in your eyes, he can do something. And that rod, when he stretched, God said, stretch forth your rod. That useless stick, that stick you think is useless, that is just for walking, he stretched forth the rod and the sea parted. Hallelujah. He said, what do you have? And the woman said, Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. The type that Mrs. Ajere we just want to use to fry plantain. That small jar of oil. That is small. When you fry egg, finish, the egg don't soak part of the oil. There's nothing left again. Almost nothing left again. He said, but all I need is just something small. All I need is just something small. Hallelujah. And guess what happened? He said, go. Borrow vessels. See, let me tell you, the instructions God is giving us this year, all we need to do is just obey and follow. It doesn't have to make sense. This doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Look here, everybody. This does not make sense. You said you have just a small jar of oil. So let's assume this is the jar of oil. Can you see this, everybody? Let's assume that this is a small jar of oil. So the ororo that we use to fry the remaining small flour or salt, whatever, and they eat and die. Let's assume this is a small jar of oil. And the man of God said, go and borrow vessels. Go and borrow tanker. Go and borrow people's, what do you call it? Those big drums. Go and borrow. Borrow containers. Amen. Borrow. He said, from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. Don't borrow a small one. The woman not say, what did he get now? This, you know, many. How many eggs can this fry? How many plantain can this fry? But the servant of God says, borrow not a few. Borrow many. Do you know how foolish it looks when you begin to, Mama Agnes, I beg, I need this, your drum. When you do the fresh water, I need that. And then you throw away the water and you bring the container. And you call it under, Mama, you collect everywhere for this, your small ororo. Aha. Meaning, you must see beyond what's in the physical realm. Hallelujah. It says, the things we see are temporary. Ha-ya-ya. Don't let people deceive you by saying that seeing is believing. No, for us, believing is seeing. Hallelujah. She had lack. That's what she could see physically. But on the inside, God has opened her eyes through his servant, to know that you have more than enough. Hallelujah. Somebody say, more than enough. There's more than enough. He said, borrow not a few. And she borrowed all the containers. Go on. Next verse, please. Next verse. Don't sleep on me now. So she went and shut the door behind her and her sons and brought all the vessels to her and I poured it out. Oh yeah, go on. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Bring more. Go to Mama Janice. Oh yeah, bring more. He said, and he said, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. When God opens the door for you, it's until you say it's enough. It's enough. God will not stop. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse. Then she came and told the man of God and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons live on the rest. Verse 8. Last verse. Now it happened. Okay, yes, stop there. That's another. So, until there was no vessel left, the oil stopped. The oil stopped when there was no vessel more left. And the man of God says, sir, pay your debts, and you and your sons live on what is left. Amen. She has become an oil producer. Amen. Now, in verse 8 to 37, we saw another thing again. That's the second story. About the Shunammite woman rendering services to the Lord. Let me tell us, every one of us, we are like this woman. Every one of us in church, we are like this woman. We are in the helps ministry. She's in the helps ministry. Whether you are in the choir singing, you are helping God's servant carry out the mandate God has given him. So whatever it is you're doing, do it well with all your heart. You are not doing it to the pastor. You are doing it for God. Hallelujah. That is HEPS ministry. So when you say, don't worry, Toshi is there. I can sleep a little more. Even if I late, Toshi is in the technical. No. God will not give your blessing to Toshi. You have your own blessing that will come to you. So come here and come and do your work. Hallelujah. Don't say, Sister Natalie is there. She's a fixer. She will fix everything. Come and do it. Hallelujah. So, God's servant asked, what can we do for this woman? She's always taking care of us each time we pass here. And his servant said, she has no child. Let me tell you what he did. When God's servant declared over her and said, what would you have me do? Should I talk to the governor for you and blah, blah? She said, no, I'm around my people. I have all this connection. That one's not a problem. So, okay. And then when he came to that point, he said, by this time next year, you will have a son. As much as that's the woman's desire, guess what she said? She said, man of God, no wine me. Sometimes that's why I said that family. Like when pastor, God will say, through his servant, say, you will have a kindness, or he declares something, and then you say, pastor, now play that. You just take it that he's playing. I mean, I don't like the pastor word for play, because I know what such words I've done over my life. Hallelujah. He could just say it casually. Hold it. Because now you know how they say he who wears the shoes knows where is what. Now you know what thing you carry. Now you know what thing you are God get. If he's going to walk through his vessel, I'm not going to joke with it and make caricature of it. No! Amen. He said, man of God, don't want me. And that's why when the child later died, she hold her for a leg. He said, man of God, I tell you, say me, you don't want me. No, see this, because you don't stay. The man of God says, bring the child. And he prayed, and the child came back to life. Hallelujah. We heard the story of the woman who was always frying fish. And each time she wants to fry fish, she will cut the head and the tail and throw it away. And fry only the main part. She would throw away the head and the tail. And her child asked her, mommy, why are you always throwing away the head and the tail of the fish? He said, because I grew up seeing my mother throwing away the head and the tail. Children, in their curiosity, got to the home of their grandma and asked grandma one day, grandma, why? I asked my mommy why she's always throwing away the head and the tail of the fish. And she said, she learned it from you. Grandma, why are you always throwing away the head and the tail of the fish? And grandma said, when your mommy was young and we're just managing our small house, we had only a small frying pan that cannot fry the whole of the fish. So the only thing I could do was cut the tail away and the head so that we can enjoy the other part of it. You see a reason for cutting it, but that woman has wasted a lot of, I mean, I like head of fish. So you can imagine if I did that kind of house, let me say, I will not be enjoying the part that I like. Because you just copy and paste. They say not just only copy, proofread before you paste. Otherwise, you'll be like that man who copied from men's this thing and just went home and pasted. And the next thing you see, now plaster for your head. You just hear somebody say, I love my mother more than everybody. You don't know whether a young person ever marry. Yes, of course, you should love his mother. And then you, when you don't marry, you come house. So don't be everything you just copy and just paste. You must filter it. Hallelujah. If we must enjoy God's pathway for our lives, we must connect, stay with the people who are doing what we see and we love and copy. Like I said, I tell Luna, I say, I know they play with my relationship with my pastor. I know they take and they play, and they talk and repeatedly. Now, I'm the only person when I feel report my wife to. The pastor. And we say, calm down. And we say, do this and do this and do this. I told you, we were in a talk show, and somebody raised his hand up, one of the youth, and said, I would want to marry, I pray that God will give me somebody like your wife. I laughed. I said, it's because now me, now God give her to, if she marry you, 30 days, you are dead. Because only me, God give that grace. Hallelujah. So not just copying and paste, I like Bishop Oyedepo with his wife. I wish God would give me somebody like Mama Faith. Are you Bishop Oyedepo? Are you Isaac? Is your name Isaac? We were in Bible school, and somebody asked that question in my class. I said, is it wrong? I was asking Bishop. That was the day we were going down. And I said, I was asking Bishop Oyedepo. He said, is it wrong for me to desire that God will give me somebody like Mama Faith? And Bishop Oyedepo said, if you want to pray that prayer, pray that God should give you. Okay, the guy said he was praying that God should make him like Bishop Oyedepo. Oyedepo said, pray that God should make you Bishop Oyedepo now, because the Oyedepo of when I started, if not for this woman that has tolerance to tolerate me, I will not get to where I am right now. Because sometimes you want to pray, Lord, make me like Pastor Muyiwa, make me like Pastor Muyiwa. The things he go through, I'm not going to go through. Amen. Except I want to pray like, God, make me Pastor Muyiwa now. Hallelujah. Because the glory days is sweet. The work, the thing, the times of work, the things that he has done to get to this point now. Can you do it? Can you enjoy it? Only the description of the car that he told us that he was driving. If you see, you say, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Brother Yemi told us of the car. Pastor Yemi one of the scribes, it was Brother Yemi that told us of the car. And the seat belt. And all those things. If it's you who wants butter and bread all the time, you will say, God, no, I'll not start from here. Let me start from when Pastor has moved from Bagada 1 to Bagada 2. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's rise up on our feet. We're going to pray this morning. There's so much we can enjoy in our walk with God. And it's simple. One of my secrets is what I've just shared with you. If I can see a good example like this and I just follow, I don't need to break my head. I don't sabi mathematics. If I sit by who sabi mathematics, I go no man small. Or they go clap for all of us, say we know, if only in the answer question. Hallelujah. I just follow who I see that is good at what he's doing. And I just follow. I copy well. Hallelujah. And God will help me. Amen. Can we just pray this prayer this morning? Lord, help me. I want to walk in your best pathways for my life. Even this year, as you take me through the best pathways, I follow you. Hook, line, and sinker. I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I just want to follow you. I just want to follow your leading. I want to follow your leading. I just want to follow your leading. Le brada do soteria na mahanda balabosha. Even if it looks foolish in the eyes of the men of the world, I want to follow your leading. Le pekadado salamande ledos. Le brendo sotalima kabaya da da da. Le bregadado soteria ma shada do soteria. The Bible says disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. Lord, I don't want to be disobedient. I want to be obedient to you, absolutely obedient, following your steps, following your ways, following your order, following your lead. Thank you, mighty God. We give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.